The terms meditation and mindfulness are sometimes used interchangeably, but there are distinctions between the two. Meditation generally refers to a formal practice. Mindfulness can be described as a way of living. A person can be mindful, that is, immersed in the present moment while doing just about anything like washing dishes or walking.
I think the word mindfulness sometimes can put out a welcome mat that is accessible, enticing, perhaps not inherently or by projection associated with religious practice that a person might not be connected with.
That's Harrison Bloom, Director of Religious and Spiritual Life at Amherst College. He's put a lot of thought into making Buddhist meditation and secular mindfulness training accessible to people regardless of their religious, racial, or socioeconomic status. In 2014, he launched his Mindfulness Allies project at a community center serving low-income residents, mostly people of color, in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
And in the first night, when I asked people why they chose to come to that class, 2 out of the 8 people broke down crying, talking about how challenging their lives were.
Bloom said one woman told him she had wanted to learn meditation for years, but could never get to a class at the Buddhist center just a half a mile away because she couldn't afford a babysitter for her children. According to Bloom, moving a meditation class to where people are, rather than asking them to come to a Buddhist center, is also a way to overcome other potential roadblocks.
A secular or Christian person going into a Buddhist center may be a bridge too far, but a Buddhist teacher partnering with and having the sensitivities needed to work with and teach from a community center with a different population can be perhaps a way to make accessible this teaching across some of those cultural barriers.
Access to training hasn't been a problem for Lisa Thompson of Rochester.
I've tried a little bit of meditation. I think that mindfulness is more of my thing.
She learned about mindfulness at a retreat at Cuca College, where she works.
It really has changed my life.
She says she's more patient and understanding and has a better sense of self. Thompson's definition of mindfulness is being present in everything she does, from her daily exercise routine to conversations with her parents.
So often, my mind will stray, it will drift off, and I'll catch myself and bring myself back. And so on a constant basis, I'm working to stay present. And it's not as easy, well, at least for me, it's not as easy as I think it should be.
Thompson's parents moved into her home 3 years ago when her father, who is in his mid-80s, began losing his sight.
I'm originally from Jamaica, and in our culture, as in a number of cultures, you take care of older family members.
She shares caregiving duties with her 3 sisters, so she says she's not overwhelmed.
I would say the biggest demand on my time is just day-to-day things, shopping, getting prescription items, things like that.
Still, Thompson can't see herself devoting time to a daily meditation practice at this point in her life.
Because I don't always have the time to take 20 minutes or 15 minutes to sit.
If time and access are barriers to learning and practicing meditation, apps are another option for those who have a computer or a smartphone. A number of apps can be downloaded for free, including Care for Caregivers. It's an app designed by the Garrison Institute. It features brief, guided meditations. Some of them are led by world-renowned meditation teacher Sharon Salzberg. She says practicing mindfulness by focusing on body movements is probably the easiest way to overcome excessive worry and rumination.
If we are just walking down the corridor, rather than just being completely lost in a fantasy about what is coming next, if we don't have to be thinking about it, actually feel your body, feel your feet touching the ground, feel this, your body moving through space, something like that. And you will find that it's a very different day.
Apps like these are among the tools Katie Badeau recommends to the stressed out and burned out caregivers she works with. Badeau is a caregiver coordinator at the Western New York chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Caregiver support group meetings have moved online during the coronavirus pandemic, and she says not all caregivers are tech savvy or even interested in a virtual meeting. So Badeau tries to educate them on, say, what a simple breathing exercise can do to relax and center them.
You know, if you're stressed enough, sometimes you're willing to try anything. So our options are limited here. We're stuck at home. Give it a shot. Try it for a week. Call me back. Tell me how it works.
Badeau says there is a stigma for caregivers around seeking support and admitting they sometimes need help, too. Lisa Thompson used to feel guilty about taking time off, but she learned if she reserves every Saturday just for herself, it makes her a better caretaker for her parents.
Take the time that you need, because if you're not well, then those around you won't be able to get the support that they need from you.
In Rochester, I'm Beth Adams for WBFO News.